No matter how weirdly these washouts twisted us around, we had to be gaining altitude. Imperceptibly, we were wormholing our way up the cliff.
"Doesn't it take your breath away?" said Chris.
"Before we came, it's possible no one had walked through here since the German occupation. It's like going into an ancient tomb."
Soon Chris and I were beetling along at a steady clip. Well, Chris beetled, and I followed. He broke the trail and ranged ahead, while I focused on just keeping pace. I'm 10 years younger than Chris, and I thought in much better shape. So it was humbling to face the fact that this 60-year-old social services administrator, who never works out and looks like he's best suited for a comfy chair and a Sunday paper, could shame me with his endurance and uphill agility.
"It must come naturally," Chris shrugged.
"Did it?" That's what I was on Crete to find out. The ancients called Crete the Sliver, and when your plane is coming in for a landing with no hint of land below, you'll know why. Right when you think you're about to plunge into the sea, the pilot banks, and the island bursts into view, frothy around the edges as if it just popped up from the deep. Looming in the harbor behind the airport is a gloomy stone fortress, a 16th-century Venetian relic that only adds to the sensation that you're punching through a portal in time and about to enter a world summoned back from the past. Crete has another nickname, the Island of Heroes, which I'd only discovered by accident. I was researching Pheidippides, the ancient Greek messenger who inspired the modern marathon, when I came across an odd reference to a modern-day Pheidippides named George Secundacus, better known as the Clown. The Clown was awe-inspiring. When Hitler's forces invaded Crete, he transformed himself overnight from a sheep farmer into a mountain-running messenger for the resistance. Somehow George was able to master challenges that would stagger an Olympic athlete. He could scramble snowy cliffs with a 60-pound pack on his back, run 50-plus miles through the night on a starvation diet of boiled hay, and outfox a Gestapo death squad that had him cornered. George wasn't even a trained soldier. He was a shepherd, living a sleepy, peaceful life, until the day German parachutes popped open over his home. Until then, I thought the secrets of ancient heroes like Pheidippides were either half-myth or lost to antiquity. But here was a normal man pulling off the same feats 2,500 years later. And he wasn't alone. George himself told the story of a fellow shepherd who single-handedly saved a village full of women and children from a German massacre. The Germans had come to search for weapons and became suspicious when they realized all the men were missing and none of the women were talking. The German commander had the women lined up for execution. Just as he was about to say fire, his skull exploded. A shepherd named Kosti Patarakis had raced to the rescue through the woods, arriving just in time to take aim from a quarter mile away. The rest of the Germans scattered for cover and fell right into the crosshairs of resistance fighters who arrived on Kosti's heels. "It still seems to me one of the most spectacular moments of the war," said a British resistance operative whose own life was saved by the silence of those brave women. The story is so stirring, it's easy to forget what it really required. Kosti had to ignore self-preservation and propel his body toward danger. He had to cover miles of cross-country terrain at top speed without a stumble. He had to quickly master rage, panic, and exhaustion as he slowed his pounding heart.